VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
And thank you for joining us on Crosstalk here today on VCY America as we try on most Fridays to have a news roundup that's before us here today. Our thanks to Sandy for gathering so much information and, so much that we're not going to get to it all. But we'll share a lot on a number of different topics here today. As we begin, though, we would like to welcome listeners in the Dallas-Fort Worth area to KVDT, as we have just come on the air there, 103.3 FM, and broadcasting 24/7 Christian Information Radio. And we'd like to welcome you here to our Crosstalk listenership as we gather around the radios here at 2 p.m. Central Time each weekday here live for the broadcast. By the way, just in follow-up to yesterday's program, that William Federer rally, the dangerous slide towards socialism, we have been deluged with orders coming in for this. It's going to take a little time to get those all copied and mailed off. But would just like to mention that as our phone lines were quite busy yesterday afternoon, that if you miss contacting us on obtaining not just what you heard on Crosstalk, but the full event, you'll find it available on our website, vcyamerica.org, where you can make an order there or by calling our switchboard at 1-800-729-9829. That was a Federer rally and a lot of information that he put into that presentation. We would recommend the DVD over the CD because he had PowerPoint slides that really help you take in the information, and I just wanted to pass that on to you here today. Let's begin with our news headlines here today, and we're going to start with a story from CBN News about Vladimir Putin's invasion of Ukraine could open the door to a greater global conflict. A new axis of evil led by Russia and China is determined to control the world's technology and commerce, they report. Within hours of invading Ukraine, Putin made an urgent phone call to Beijing, wanted to discuss his actions with Communist China's President Xi Jinping. Not only did Xi know about the invasion in advance, but Western intelligence officials also say that the Chinese requested that Putin delay military action until after the Beijing Olympics. Russia obliged. Well, this revelation indicates a strengthening of the Sino-Russian alliance. So is Xi prepared to pounce on Taiwan? Here is a statement from retired Brigadier General Robert Spalding, who said certainly he's watching what happens in Ukraine and certainly how the rest of the world reacts to it. Russia the bear, China the dragon are looking at a way to undermine the United States on the edge of their spheres of influence if the Russians extend their area of influence over Eastern Europe. China backs it. The Chinese will look toward the Russians for support for a potential invasion of Taiwan, an expansion of their interest toward Southeast Asia, explained Greg Roman, director of the Middle East Forum. Both countries, I think, wrongly, they both feel threatened by the U.S. dominance in the region, and now they're pushing back. If they work together, they're more likely to think that they will succeed. Well, for now, in order to aid their pursuit for Russian energy and Chinese money, certain countries are joining this new Sino-Russian-led axis. That includes nuclear Pakistan, whose prime minister met with Putin just hours before the Ukraine invasion. His high-level Moscow visit was Pakistan's first of its kind in more than 20 years. Spalding suggests that the timing of this convergence is troubling. Ukraine, plus Russia, plus China, plus China's Belt and Road Initiative, so all the satellite states, to include countries like Iran and North Korea and others that are just along the Belt and Road Initiative, makes them incredibly powerful, not just militarily, not just from a nuclear weapon perspective, but also economically, yes, financially, and increasingly technologically, they report. It's a really a fundamental different world, and the strategy, or rather the tragedy of it all, is that we help them build it, Spalding said. Well, the U.S. is not doing enough to build up American industries to prevent the Chinese from surpassing us in technology. This has been growing. We knew it was happening, said Spalding. We just wanted to hope or wish it away, kind of like the Chamberlain and others of his ilk during World War II. Well, that's very interesting, this axis of evil that is being unleashed right now on the world scene, ladies and gentlemen. And keep in mind, these things are not happening by accident. Also, here is a Washington Examiner. Russia's war with Ukraine entered its third week Thursday. No breakthroughs after foreign ministers from both countries met in Turkey. The two sides were unable to reach a ceasefire or an agreement to ease the worsening humanitarian crisis. In the 14 days since Putin ordered his soldiers to invade neighboring Ukraine, thousands of people have died, including pregnant mothers, infants, and the elderly. More than 2 million people have been forced out of their homes, fleeing with only what they could carry. In several cities and towns across Ukraine, people have run out of food and access to clean water. They have no heat or electricity, with nighttime temperatures dipping down to the single digits. Washington Times reporting that the Pentagon Tuesday rejected Poland's offer to give the U.S. its MiG-29 fighter jets for use by Ukraine. In a rare public display of disharmony by NATO allies seeking to boost Ukrainian fighters while avoiding getting caught up in a wider war with Russia. Also from the National Review, Ukrainian officials Wednesday sounded alarms after Russian forces cut off the power supply to the Chernobyl nuclear plant, warning that the blackout could cause uncooled spent fuel assemblies to release radioactive substances into the environment. Western Journal telling us that amid a ban by Western companies on supplying aircraft parts to Russia, China has decided not to do so as well. Boeing and Airbus refused to supply the parts to Russia as part of a worldwide sanctions hitting the country in multiple ways. And China has now decided not to buck the world and help out its neighbor, according to Reuters. They are saying that they need this for the safety of their passenger planes and now seeking parts from Turkey and from India. Looking at the Telegraph out of the UK, angry Russian mothers have accused Vladimir Putin of deploying their sons as cannon fodder in his invasion of Ukraine, according to video footage of a confrontation with a regional governor that emerged on a day when police in Russia detained 4,500 anti-war protesters. I mean, this is a governor of a region of Siberia, just stands there before this group of angry mothers in the school gymnasium accusing the Kremlin of lying. And one of the mothers saying, "We were all deceived. They were sent there as cannon fodder." And he also called it a special operation and not a war and was shouted down. The Daily Caller is saying that Undersecretary of State Victoria Nuland testified Tuesday. She's worried that Russia may get a hold of Ukraine's biological research facilities. While speaking at the Senate Foreign Relations Committee hearing on Russia's invasion into Ukraine, Marco Rubio said, "With 1 minute left, does Ukraine have chemical or biological weapons?" Here is a response that came from Nuland. Again, she's Undersecretary of State, saying Ukraine has biological research facilities, which in fact we are now quite concerned that Russian forces may be seeking to gain control of. So we're working with the Ukrainians on how they can prevent any of those research materials from falling into the hands of the Russian forces should they approach. Let's see. Also, Washington Examiner telling us that the Attorney General, Merrick Garland, joining with the U.S.'s Five Eyes partners to call upon the International Criminal Police Organization, Interpol, to end Russia's access to their databases as the Kremlin continues its Ukraine invasion. Interpol has 194 global members, controls a vast quantity of law enforcement data and secure police communications that could be shared with its members in the U.S., the United Kingdom, Canada, Australia, and New Zealand, the five English-speaking member nations, or EYES, that comprise the Intelligence Sharing Alliance and are in agreement that the Russian government's ability to use those tools must end. Ukrainian Tesla employees who returned their country and joined the fight against Russia will receive 3 months' pay. Tesla sent an email to its employees in Europe, the Middle East, and Africa region Monday, according to NBC News. The email said that Tesla would reassess the war situation in 3 months and determine if employees need anything more. Not clear if the benefits, though, extend to Ukrainians living in other parts of the world. Todd Starnes telling us that McDonald's announced Tuesday it's closing 850 of its fast food restaurants in Russia in response to the war. We understand also another 100 had been shut down in Ukraine. Breitbart telling us that the California Army National Guard commander on Sunday sent a memorandum to soldiers serving in the California Army National Guard, which is partnered with Ukrainian forces under the State Partnership Program, asking them to stand ready. That was the subject of the memorandum. It was issued by Army Major General Laura Yeager and was a letter to the field Ukraine saying, "We cannot predict what our role may be at home or abroad. Therefore, we must stand ready. We ask each of you to self-assess and seize the initiative to improve your personal readiness," Yeager wrote to the National Guard. Let's see. Let's go back to the Telegraph out of the UK. This Russia Z symbol could become the next swastika is the headline. That's three strips of tape forming the letter Z. That's all it is. It's a kind of a do-it-yourself symbol. It was on the shirt of a 20-year-old Russian gymnast performing on the parallel bars at a competition. But as always in times of war, symbols matter, and no matter the place or the content these days, Z is no longer just a letter of the alphabet. Instead, it's become an icon of support for the Russian invasion of Ukraine, daubed on Russian roads and walls, on bus shelters and cars. It's stitched into jacket lapels or formed by human chains, a public sign of devotion to Vladimir Putin and his campaign. They're even selling T-shirts emblazoned with it on the state-controlled broadcaster Russia Today website. Truly amazing that's going on. You see school children, as a matter of fact, children from a hospice pictured in a Z formation as well, standing out in the snow, becoming the next swastika symbol. FoxNews.com reporting that President Biden's climate czar, John Kerry, said while the Ukraine refugee crisis is a problem amid Russia's invasion, it pales in comparison to the wave of migration that will come if climate change is not addressed. Folks, in other words, he's saying, you ain't seen nothing yet. Climate change is going to do so much more damage. Well, Kerry, the U.S. Special Presidential Envoy for Climate, said during the annual CERAWeek conference in Houston Monday that the U.S. must not lose sight of its path toward clean energy, and now that the Russia-Ukraine war has accelerated the global energy crisis, saying, quote, "We're already seeing climate refugees around the world. If you think migration has been a problem in Europe, in the Syrian war, or even from what we see now, wait until you see 100 million people for whom the entire food production capacity has collapsed." Todd Starnes reporting that Congressman Scott Perry told the Todd Starnes show that President Biden is using Ukraine to push for the left's Green New Deal. You know, didn't we hear Rahm Emanuel never let a crisis go to waste? The reason we got here is because we have a president that's weak and signaled that he didn't care if Vladimir Putin invaded Ukraine, and an energy policy that supports not only this excursion by Russia, but has emboldened all of our enemies around the globe. Biden made it a point during the announcement to push for electric vehicles and other things in his agenda. And matter of fact, Washington Examiner telling said Joe Biden sent a clear message to the U.S. oil and gas companies Tuesday after banning the import of Russian oil and coal, natural gas as well. "Let me say this to the oil and gas companies and to the finance firms that are out there. We understand that Putin's war against the people of Ukraine is causing prices to rise," the president said. "But it's no excuse to exercise excessive price increases or padding profits or any kind of effort to exploit this situation or on American consumers. It's simply not true that my administration or policies are holding back domestic energy production. That's simply not true," the president said. Well, folks, did you know this? The prices were rising even before Russia invaded. We'll be right back.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, president of the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, the pterosaurs were flying reptiles, but were they good flyers or not?
Chris, it's hard to know because we've never seen one fly. We do see their skeletal remains, and some of them were absolutely huge. How could they have flown? A scientific study of some of their skulls has given us some clues. That portion of the brain which integrates input from the different sensory organs was large in the pterosaurs, much larger than in other creatures. This gives us the impression that the creature was a good flyer. Of course, evolutionists propose that all these functions and organs came about by natural selection. What could have given some non-flying creature this ability? A much better idea is that God created these huge creatures as a monument to his creative ability and imagination. Today, we just sit back and marvel. And it's been that way ever since, back in Genesis.
This is Chris O'Brien. Thanks for going back to Genesis.
This is Crosstalk on VCY America, and you're listening to a News Roundup program here today on this Friday. We thank you for joining us, and again, welcome to our listeners over 103.3 FM out of the Dallas-Fort Worth area. Good to have you with us daily here in the program. We're continuing our roundup. We're talking about the oil issue, the rising gas prices, and folks, I don't know what it's going to take. How long will it take before you contact the White House? How long will it take before you contact your congressman in regard to this? I mean, is it going to take getting to $4.50 a gallon? Or is it going to take $5 a gallon? Will it take $6 a gallon before you make that phone call to the White House or to your congressman or to your senator? Let me just give you that phone number, or these numbers, I should say, just in case it gets to that point where you say, you know what, I think I better say something regarding this. You know, we talk about what happened, and we'll be sharing some stories coming up here in just a bit, what happened on Inauguration Day and certainly the stopping of the Keystone XL. We saw also the, you know, look at what's happened to fracking. Look at what's happened to it. We were energy independent as a nation. Look what has happened in just over 1 year's time. So if you're not at that point yet where you're concerned about where things are going, the time is coming when you probably will. So you can write down these numbers to let your views be heard. First of all, to the White House comment line. The White House comment line is 202-456-1111. That's 202-456-1111. To the main House switchboard, it is 202-225-3121. You can ask for your member of Congress there, 202-225-3121. In addition, the Senate switchboard is 202-224-3121. To get to your two U.S. senators, 202-224-3121. Of course, you can get their direct dial numbers by going to house.gov or to senate.gov. But you may not be at that point yet. You may be happy and content where things are, but there will come a point. But I wonder what that point is. When it reaches four and a half, five, some are paying more than for that $5 a gallon right now. And that you just may want to have those numbers handy. So when it crosses your red line, you may want to reach out to the president and you may want to reach out to your senators and your member of Congress. Well, as we go back here to looking at the New York Post, leaders of Saudi Arabia and the United Arab Emirates, they would not come to the phone when President Biden tried to call them to discuss boosting oil exports to offset price hikes linked to Russia's invasion of Ukraine, according to report. The Saudi crown prince and the UAE sheikh declined Biden's attempted outreach. There were some expectations of a phone call, but it didn't happen, a U.S. official stated. It was part of turning on the spigot, you know, of Saudi oil. Well, Biden on Tuesday morning banned Russian oil imports, and gasoline prices would increase even more after hitting an all-time high of 4.17 per gallon on average at that time. Although Biden didn't recently release some oil from he did recently release some of the oil from the strategic reserve. He told reporters he can't do much now to stop gas prices from increasing. Nothing I can do here. You got to look someplace else. Matter of fact, there was a press conference earlier this week. Jen Psaki. Now, keep in mind, the very first day that Biden came into office, he declared war on the energy industry. He inherited an America in which our energy supply was self-sufficient. Matter of fact, I'm looking right now from the conservative firingline.com. He inherited an America in which our energy supply was self-sufficient. For the first time in modern memory, our reserves had been topped off. The cost per barrel was low enough at the time. But now we have a transportation secretary, Buttigieg, and AOC's glib answers to this crisis about switching to electric vehicles is that pricing oil and gas out of reach for the average citizen was the explicit goal of restricting energy production. They were trying to fast-track a transition to the electric economy. Well, Jen Psaki, earlier this week, spoke to this issue at a press conference in which she was asked about these rising prices. Let's listen in.
It sounds like you guys are blaming Putin for the increase in gas prices recently, but weren't gas prices going up anyway because of post-pandemic supply chain issues?
Well, I think there's no question that, as we have seen, and outside analysts have conveyed this as well, the increase in the anticipated continued increase, which is, I think, what some of your colleagues were asking about, that is a direct result of the invasion of Ukraine. And also, there was an anticipation of that that was factored in as gas prices have gone up.
Isn't that amazing? Yes, due to the invasion and the anticipation of the invasion. That's why it had been climbing all this time, over the last year plus. It's because of the anticipation of the invasion. Well, I saw also a clip here from the EPA Administrator, Michael Regan, who also spoke this week, talking about pressing the accelerator to reach a zero emissions future sooner than most people thought. I mean, when you see him start this, he is just smiling broadly here like a Cheshire cat. Here he is.
Under President Biden and Vice President Harris's leadership, we're pressing the accelerator to reach a zero emissions future sooner than most people thought. EPA's two announcements today are about seizing the opportunity that technology presents and driving towards a cleaner, healthier, more just future for all of our children. The first of these is EPA's clean truck proposal. 72 million people are estimated to live near truck freight routes in America, and they're more likely people of color and those with lower income. Those overburdened communities are directly exposed to pollution that leads to respiratory and cardiovascular problems, among other serious and costly health effects. As directed by President Biden's executive order, EPA is proposing new, ambitious standards to significantly reduce emissions from smog and soot-forming nitrogen oxides from heavy-duty gasoline and diesel engines used on the nation's roads and highways. This will ensure that the portions of the heavy-duty fleet that continue to rely on the internal combustion engine during the transition to cleaner alternatives will deliver much-needed protections to our most vulnerable communities.
Thank you, folks. You think we got a supply chain issue right now? Just wait. Just wait. And the way that the spin is on this, the propaganda that comes forth in that, but again, just smiling very broadly that this reaching a zero emissions future sooner than most people thought. Breitbart is reporting the national average of gas soared to a record high for the fourth consecutive day yesterday, increasing 6 cents over the night. The price for gas, $4.31.8 a gallon, a 59-cent increase from last week, according to AAA. A former Keystone XL worker, Neil Crabtree, told Fox News this. He said, we tried to warn this administration back when they canceled the Keystone pipeline that Biden was canceling national security, foreign policy, and energy. Okay, well, speaking of the Biden administration, I know this story came out a week ago, but it didn't get reported here on Crosstalk. I wanted to bring it back here because it's still on the website here today of ready.gov. I checked it out this morning. The U.S. government's ready.gov website says Americans should wear a mask and maintain 6 feet social distancing in the event of a nuclear explosion. Did you get that, folks? In the event of a nuclear explosion, make sure you wear a mask and make sure that you maintain 6 feet of social distancing. Yes, I saw it there yet this morning at ready.gov. I'm going to read this in. So with a nuclear explosion, get inside. Get to the basement or middle of the building. Stay away from the outer walls and roof. Try to maintain a distance of at least 6 feet between yourself and people who are not part of your household. If possible, wear a mask. If you're sheltering with people who are not part of your household, children under 2 years old, people who have trouble breathing, and those who are unable to remove masks on their own should not wear them. Very interesting. Okay, let's see. The People's Convoy, American Truckers People's Convoy, had come to the nation's capital demanding an end to the state of emergency declared by the federal government at the start of the COVID pandemic 2 years ago. They set out from California last month, reached an estimated 30 miles in length before halting outside the capital on March the 5th. Certainly they got their inspiration from what was going on in Canada. And the Freedom Convoy that descended in Ottawa in January, the People's Convoy, based now in Hagerstown, Maryland, And just outside of D.C., they've been circling the city. A matter of fact, it was reported by WJLA.com, a local media, that a trucker convoy hitting the D.C. Beltline for the fourth time after taking a break Wednesday due to the rain. And this time, Senator Cruz was with them, tweeting out, "Thank you to the people's convoys for speaking out for freedom. Petty government tyrants shouldn't force people to make private health care decisions." The group known as the People's Convoy has been in Hagerstown since March 4th and are here to protest against COVID-19 mandates. They say traffic impacts during the week have been minimal, reports the local station. Let's see, when has traffic ever been minimal in D.C.? DailyWire.com on Wednesday, President Joe Biden signed an executive order that laid the groundwork for federal regulation of the cryptocurrency market, the potential development of a digital dollar, as well as setting the stage for the presentation of unregulated cryptocurrency as national security threats. The order calls for a review of the federal government's approach to cryptocurrencies, as well as placing the United States as a leader in the global industry. The ongoing Russian invasion of Ukraine is also being presented as a motivation for cracking down on cryptocurrency. LifeSiteNews.com is reporting that Australia rapidly abandoning physical currency and predicted to become a cashless society within a few years, according to experts. Since 2019, banks have removed 3,800 ATMs across the country, representing over one-third of Australia's cash machines, news.com.au reported. The top four Australian banks, meanwhile, have permanently shuttered 459 branches. Folks, are we going to see that coming to the United States as well? Some of you are already seeing that taking place with branches shutting down. CBA, Australia's largest bank, now has just 875 branches compared with 1,200 before COVID-19. At the same time, the bank has cut ATMs by more than half, down to 2,000. In New South Wales, over 200 suburbs have no way to obtain cash in their area, according to the same outlet, news.com.au, and 300 lack a bank store. 300 suburbs lack a bank. 200 have no way to obtain cash in their area. Digital transactions are already predominant in Australia, where fewer than 25% of transactions involve physical money. 80% of residents prefer virtual banking. The shift to digital, experts said, will leave the country effectively cashless by 2031 or earlier. Well, the way it's going, friends, it will be earlier. Washington Examiner reporting at least two Iranians belonging to the Islamic Revolutionary Guard Covert Action Quds Force have been plotting to assassinate former National Security Advisor John Bolton, according to a Justice Department official with direct knowledge of the investigation. The source tells the Washington Examiner that the department possesses evidence against the Iranians, but that Biden administration officials are resisting publicly indicating, or rather indicting the men for fear that it could derail their drive for a nuclear deal with Iran. Currently nearing its completion in negotiations in Vienna, Austria, Biden's hope is to resume the 2015 JCPOA Iran nuclear accord. Well, friends, I've got some more to share with you after the break. You're listening to Crosstalk. It's a news roundup today. Thanks for tuning in. We'll be right back.
Dave Cristiano has produced and directed impactful Christian films addressing timely issues. This month, offered is a set of his productions, including the 90-minute Power of the Air, in which a missionary from Africa warns of the danger the church in America is facing due to the influence of the media the church is consuming. Also in this package are three 25-minute productions from 7th Street Theater, including On the Air, addressing the issue of depression, The Bus Stop, addressing the matter of prayer, and Mayday, an evangelistic film comparing the days of Noah to the return of Christ. This set of DVDs is available for a donation of $20 with additional sets to the same address for an additional $12 donation per set. Call 1-800-729-9829. 1-800-729-9829. You may also visit vcyamerica.org.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. Thanks for joining us here today. It's a news roundup day, and so much taking place in the news here this past week. Of course, the omnibus spending bill also is something that made its way through the House and then through the Senate, some $1.5 trillion funding bill. And of course, it was touted as this is money that was needed for Ukraine, though Ukraine is just a microcosm of this. Some of the, this is a massive 2,700-page omnibus, little public review. Legislators had but hours to go through this, and I'm wondering how many read it. I would say that there was not a single legislator, not a single congressman, not a single senator that would be able to get through 2,700 pages in the hours that they had available to them. The Daily Signal reported that this was irresponsible and inflationary spending. According to the House Appropriations Committee, the omnibus spending bill provided more than $1.5 trillion in federal spending for discretionary programs, an $88 billion increase over the current base spending levels. But, folks, the government's open. It continues the COVID-19 emergency. It includes $15.6 billion in emergency supplemental appropriations requested by the Biden administration for COVID-19. Also, is something that is being used as a $13.6 billion in Ukraine aid. A lot of earmarks are in here as well. Special interest pork projects. Title 10, by the way, promoting abortion, $286 million come in this omnibus. IRS spending, it would provide $12.59 billion for the IRS. It's a $675 million increase in annual funding. The question is, will we see a clamping down on conservative organizations once again? It also doubles down on the green energy subsidies, funding for energy efficiency and renewable energy subsidies, Department of Transportation climate change programs, carbon reduction programs, as well as a 700% increase for environmental justice programs. We understand there was 2,741 pages of legislative text, 2,413 pages of explanatory materials. The omnibus spending bill is massive. So the bill, over 2,700 pages, and then there's more materials to explain it that are 2,400 pages in length. Daily Signal also telling us that this has racist energy systems. They have this grid resilience and equity in the energy transition. That word equity in the title. Let's go down here. Oh, yeah. There's also health equity for pool improvements. $496,000 in the name of health equity for pool improvements in the home district of Jamal Bowman. Climate studies diversity. Massachusetts Markey and Warren were able to contribute two left-wing priorities into their $500,000 earmark for Worcester State University to increase diversity and inclusion for STEM students to study climate change. Rhode Island Senators Whitehouse and Jack Reed requested $1.6 million of federal taxpayer funding for Roger Williams University for the development of equitable growth of shellfish aquaculture in Rhode Island. It's amazing, folks. We understand that legislators had less than 12 hours. That was Representative Lisa McLean tweeted out. Less than 12 hours to go through this bill. Washington Times reporting that tell you what, I'm going to move on here. Another story, a Daily Caller pointing out this week, House Democrats were holding their annual retreat this week and had invited for their annual retreat Wednesday night a drag queen who goes by the name of Lady Bunny. Lady Bunny. 9:30 p.m. is when the presentation was going to be taking place, hosted by the Democratic Congressional Campaign Committee. Unbelievable, folks. Hosted in Philadelphia. A drag queen, Lady Bunny. And I guess we were told by Joe Biden as he was running for president that transgender, you know, rights are the civil rights issue of our time. Matt Staver at Liberty Counsel this week put out a press release in regard to the Biden administration paying media $1 billion for COVID shot propaganda. The Biden administration paid nearly the entire corporate media, including so-called conservative media outlets, with taxpayer dollars to engage in a massive campaign to push only positive coverage about COVID shots while censoring any negative information without disclosing it to their audiences. This is a serious breach of journalistic ethics, said Matt Staver. Congress appropriated $1 billion in fiscal year 2021 for the Secretary of Health to spend on activities to strengthen vaccine confidence in the United States. Then hundreds of news organizations were paid by the federal government to advertise for the shots as part of a comprehensive media campaign by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services. The COVID-19 Public Education Campaign, a national initiative to increase public confidence in and uptake of COVID-19 vaccines, was created with the goal of having trusted messengers and influencers speak to news organizations to provide factual, timely information and steps people can take to protect themselves, their families, and their communities, end of quote. This information was revealed in response to a Freedom of Information Act request filed by Blaze Media. It uncovered that HHS purchased advertising on TV, radio, in print, and on social media to build vaccine confidence. Media networks including ABC, CBS, NBC, Fox News, CNN, Newsmax, MSNBC, New York Post, Los Angeles Times, Washington Post, BuzzFeed News, and hundreds of local newspapers and TV stations were collectively responsible for publishing countless articles and video segments promoting the COVID shots as effective and safe. However, the evidence continues to reveal that the COVID shots are definitely not safe and effective, says Staver. Last January, a Texas federal judge ordered the FDA to accelerate the release of the data it relied on to license the Pfizer BioNTech COVID-19 two-dose injection, marketed as Comirnaty. U.S. District Judge Mark Pittman ordered the FDA to produce more than 12,000 of pages on or before January 31st and to proceed with the remaining documents at a rate of 55,000 pages every 30 days, with the first production being due on or before March 1 of 2022 until production is complete. Well, in that first 55,000-page set of documents released last week, or on March 1st, the FDA Center for Biologics Evaluation and Research allowed the public to access data for the first time that Pfizer submitted to the FDA from its clinical trials in support of the COVID-19 vaccine license. Hidden in one appendix is a 38-page report of clinical data for Pfizer's vaccine that lists 1,291 adverse side effects of the shot in alphabetical order. Where was this in the news reporting, folks? Where was this 38-page appendix listing the 1,291 adverse side effects? I mean, I can't go through all of them, but the list included acute kidney injury, brainstem embolism, brainstem thrombosis, cardiac arrest, cardiac failure, cardiac ventricular thrombosis, central nervous system vasculitis, death neonatal, a deep vein thrombosis, encephalitis brainstem, foaming at the mouth, epileptic psychosis, facial paralysis, fetal distress syndrome, immune-mediated hepatitis, juvenile myoclonic epilepsy, liver injury, low birth weight, multisystem inflammatory syndrome in children, myocarditis, neonatal seizure, pancreatitis, pneumonia, stillbirth, type 1 diabetes, and other matters, over 1,246 other medical conditions following vaccination. That was released in this first dump of reports by the FDA. In one appendix, folks, where was this information in the news? Meanwhile, the Biden administration is paying news media in order to put out a story that is going to build their confidence in the vaccine. Friends, I've got another full stack of papers here, but I'd like to open phone lines today to hear what you have to say on these issues I presented today. Other current event stories, our number to Crosstalk, 800-733-9829. 800-733-9829. Our call-in number for Crosstalk today 800-733-9829. LifeSiteNews.com also had an opinion piece telling of the former BlackRock portfolio manager Edward Dowd speaking out about the real motivations behind the pandemic that include a global debt problem, an imminent global collapse of the financial industry. After the great financial crisis, the decision was made to increase the money supply, but this debt-based financial system is unsustainable, and Dowd believes it's on the brink of collapse. Restrictions on travel, vaccine passports, rampant censorship enacted as measures to control the pandemic are all at a global way to control the collapse and its aftermath. He said the cat's out of the bag. Solid data that non-COVID deaths have skyrocketed among young people since the introduction of COVID-19 shots, evidence of fraud in Pfizer's COVID shot trials, and disturbing Department of Defense data on COVID injection side effects. Dowd believes it's only a matter of time before the criminals behind the scheme are held accountable. Well, let's hear what you have to say on the issues here today. Well, let me just mention this. Western Journal had a story this week about the Navy refusing to deploy one of its warships because its commander refuses to be vaccinated against COVID, which the Navy says makes him unfit for command. But a district judge has ruled that the Navy can't remove him because it would admit to taking disciplinary action against him because of his religious beliefs, according to Navy Times. So in a legal filing, attorneys for the commander said the Navy is willing to damage national security for the sake of making a point. If there is injury to the Navy from shutting down the commander's ship, it is self-inflicted and intentional, the March 1st court filing had argued. Can you imagine that? The Navy canceling the deploying of a warship because the commander has not received the shot? Let's go to Sue calling in from Joplin, Missouri. Sue, thanks for calling Crosstalk. You're on the air.
Yes, please. I'm first want to say I'm certainly not a Biden supporter, but he did do what we wanted him to do. He did ban imports to punish Russia, and I feel like we ought to let up a little bit on him in that respect because we expected to suffer consequences to have him do that.
Did you?
I know the pipeline's a different story, but he did do what we wanted there.
And Sue, did it ever dawn on you that Mr. Putin would not invade Ukraine while President Trump was in office?
Yes, I know that, and I'm not a supporter of Biden. I was a supporter of Trump.
Mm-hmm.
But in this issue, since Biden did ban imports on Russia, and this is what I thought he should have done, I think he should get a little bit of credit there.
Okay. Thank you, Sue, for your comment. And Sue's comment today, Mr. Biden should get credit for what's going on here. Okay. Greg in Tucson, Arizona, you're on the air.
Thank you for taking my call. You know, with regard to all of the fallout from the vaccine, some of that has to be laid at the hands, at the feet of Donald Trump. He bragged about Operation Warp Speed. And correct me if I'm wrong, to my knowledge, he has never called it what it is, gene therapy, experimental gene therapy. He has used the word or misused the word vaccine. And, you know, why do Republicans make excuses for him for everything, like he can do no wrong?
Well, Greg, let me point out that one of the things we did point out in one of his rallies after he left the presidency when he was promoting the shot, he was booed. He was booed by those in attendance at one of the Trump rallies.
Well, it's about time. Thank you.
Okay, thank you for the call. We're up against a break. Back in a minute here on Crosstalk. Our number, 800-733-9829. We'll be right back.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brennan House. Our website is worldviewreport.com. Sadly, many Americans and even many in the military have been brainwashed to believe that America's military could stomp all over Russia anytime we wanted. That is absolutely not the truth. Dr. Peter Vincent Pry, whose radio show I produce, has documented on his radio show and in an article that Russia's ICBMs, which is intercontinental ballistic missiles, are at a 95% state of readiness all the time. 95% state of readiness all the time. They could launch many of their ICBMs within 3.5 minutes. They're on a constant combat readiness level. Putin, right now as I'm recording this, is in a bunker, in a control center. They have way more ICBMs than we do, way more. They've cheated on so many of their treaties with us while we've honored our treaties, and now they're on the fifth and sixth generation warfare, and we're in bad shape. Our ICBMs largely are on subs that have to get out to sea and get close to strike, and our planes would take up to 3 days to get them ready to go. America is vulnerable. Wake up.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. Let's go right back to the phone lines. Our number 800-733-9829. Merle in Tennessee, you're on the air.
Yeah, Jim. China gave the Biden regime perfect cover to steal the 2020 election by the COVID. Now we're seeing Russia give them perfect cover for the America-destroying policies they're doing right now. And I tell you, it says in Revelation that he's coming back for a bride without spot or wrinkle. And there's one way that happens. That's go through the washing machine, then through the wringer, and then you get pressed with heat, and then you got a no spots, no wrinkles. Praise God. Mm. But I believe we need to brace ourselves. We need to prepare, not have wishful thinking, and just trust our Lord and hang on like the lady did on the hem of his garment. Thank you, Jim.
Thank you, Merle, for your comments here today. Ken, in Wisconsin, you're on the air.
Yes, this is Ken Schultz, and I just wanted to let people know that if you take a cruise, it will be canceled, and no, they have been, all of them have to be had shot. Everybody has to be clear before you get on the boat. And I've had two of them already canceled. And I've had other people turn around and say that they're getting it from other people. Now, the only way they can get it is through the shot. And that's where they're going.
Yeah, there's when you have a cruise that's a clientele that's been fully vaccinated and there's an outbreak on board, that should tell you something, should it not?
It tells you something, yes.
Yeah.
And this is, you know, if you want to wait until a doggone 30 years from now, I'll be dead and everybody else will be dead. It really counts on. But, you know, all these people, what are you going to do?
Thank you, Ken, for your comments here today. Thomas in Fort Scott, Kansas, you're on the air.
Yeah, Jim, this is Thomas here. Hey, just to mention on those telephone numbers you gave out, excuse me, the one with the four ones at the end, I've been calling that since Trump's been out. And it's always said it's not available.
Let me. That's the White House comment line. So they have also the White House switchboard number. That is, instead of 1111, it's 1414. So,
yeah, I've got that one.
Okay.
But the 1111 is always said not available.
Interesting.
But another thing, you know, Trump. Yeah, that was the biggest thing he did wrong, was that fast track thing. But, you know, people have talked to him, I believe, from what I've seen on Frank's speech, and he doesn't mention that shot anymore. You know, he's not perfect. Jesus is, and we need to quit worrying about Trump did this or did that wrong. We need to focus on Jesus Christ and worry about where we're going and to tell others that Jesus is coming soon and they need to get things right.
Yeah, right. It's not who resides in the White House, it's who resides in your heart.
That is correct.
Amen. Thank you, Thomas.
Thank you.
Kurt in Alloway, Michigan, you're on the air.
Hey, Jim. Hey, I just want to say thanks for your show here. And like that last caller said, I agree. Trump did a lot of bad things. I think he just didn't understand how evil this government was. I think one of the biggest things, if he would have did right, was Planned Parenthood. If he would have not ever funded it and, you know, held his ground on that, we probably wouldn't, he probably would still be our president. But as for those other people that want to say Biden is evil. Biden just does whatever the devil wants him to do. He's no good. I believe his soul is seared. And we got to pray that the good Lord still wants to give us another chance. Otherwise, just keep looking up and waiting for that day to happen. And God bless you, Jim.
Thank you, Kurt, for your call here today. We're told in Scripture that it's righteousness that exalts a nation. Sin is a reproach to any people. And certainly we see the impact of sin upon our society here even today. Nevertheless, the scripture does tell us to pray for those that are in authority over us, that we might lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. Christine is next in Wisconsin. You're on the air.
Hello there. Thanks for taking my call. I just had a thought that, you know, people don't like Trump. And I think that it's not about who you like or who you don't like. It's about the job that they do. And I think he did a lot of good for the conservatives, for Christians, for the people that want to get rid of sex trafficking. His stand on the vaccine was on the fence. And I think that had we had a fair election, I think that we wouldn't be going through some of the things that we are going through now, because I think he would have taken a strong stand on it's your choice. And the way we're headed now is that we have such pollution that our government leaders don't even listen to us because their agenda is so huge that we're just pawns. You know, this war with Russia and Ukraine, you know, what about all the people that are innocent bystanders? There's Russian people that we need to pray for because they're just innocent bystanders. Yeah. They don't want to be in that position. And the vaccine is something that is being pushed because they can and they will, because they saw how easy it was to do what they did.
Christine, thank you. Appreciate your comments. I'm short on minutes and other callers lined up, but thank you for your comments here today. Phoenix, Arizona, Roberto, you're on the air.
Hello.
Yes, go ahead. Turn your radio down, Roberto.
Yes. Phoenix, Arizona, Roberto.
Okay, tell you what, we're going to have to skip Roberto. Maricopa, Florida, and Bowden, you're on the air.
Yes, I wanted to know if you heard of Vladimir Posner. I'm sure you have. You know who I'm talking about, Vladimir Posner, the propagandist?
Posner? Yeah, go ahead with your comment. We're short on seconds here.
Okay, all right. I heard him say at UCSD that Nikol Khrushchev never said we will bury you from within. That was from the John Birch Society. I heard that right from his mouth before he fled the auditorium because Afghanistan were yelling at him to get out of Afghanistan.
Yeah, okay. That's going to need a much broader context than what time is allowing for us here. Thank you for your call, though, here today. Friends, we're out of time on the broadcast, and we thank you for tuning in here to Crosstalk on VCY America, covering the issues here each and every day. And friends, what a mindful time it is that we do need to be in prayer. We do need to do what God has called us to do, to spread the gospel, the good news. That's the only thing that will change man's heart today, is the gospel. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature, a new creation, where old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. Do you know Christ as your Savior? If not, we would encourage you to place your trust in him today. Our time is gone, and by the way, it's Friday. The Lord's Day is coming. Trust will be in a Bible-believing, Bible-teaching local church. Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the Internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. Or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.